Unless you're talking about the Golden Corral or diamonds, quality is usually better than quantity. This past week, we put out a short 4-minute episode that was mainly an update of what you could expect on this week's show. However, there were some very valuable nuggets of information in there if you were listening. If you missed it, here's a recap of the brilliance you let pass you by. I'm going with Tennessee +9 versus Baltimore. I believe this is the week where you get to see Baltimore crap the playoff bed yet again and get kicked out of 2 straight playoffs with the supposed crowned NFL MVP Lamar Jackson.
Say what?
I also am going Kansas City -9.5 versus Houston.
¿Qué has dicho?
And I'm going Green Bay -4 versus Seattle. Seattle's just too beat up, and Green Bay is going to handle that game. It's going to be close, but I think they can win by 4 in a cold, snowy Green Bay.
What did you say?
I'm doing a moneyline parlay using San Francisco, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Green Bay. And now, here's this week's episode.
Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, January 18th. And we've just been hit with snowmageddon.
Exactly.
So much
it's
so.
It's snowing right now again.
Is it snowing up by you?
Yeah, it's snowing again.
So much snow here in Wisconsin, the first big snowfall of the year down here in southern Wisconsin, that Dan is safe in his house talking to us on the phone. And we're going to try and do this via teleconference. So,
yeah.
And with you sitting in the house, I know you probably have a bowl of your favorite snack in front of you, which is Cheetos, right?
No, we still have a few cheese balls left that we're munching on.
But you do like Cheetos, correct?
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah.
So, and I know we've been talking about this for a while, that you think that Cheetos should come out with a bag of just the really little pieces of Cheetos that are left at the bottom of the crunchy bag of Cheetos.
Okay, and I'm going to sue anybody that takes this from me, or did somebody already do it?
No, it's just I found a story that Cheetos has come up with an official name for the residue that's left on your fingers after you eat them.
I heard Cheeto.
Yeah, do you like that?
No.
I thought it was kind of goofy too, but you know, it's what are you going to do?
Can anybody say if they think I'm right that they should come up with like a little sleeve, probably about, you know, 99 cents for the sleeve, and it's just
like a little prize inside the Cheeto bag, like Cracker Jack.
Oh no, I think they should sell it separate. Like
make tons.
Yeah, like even like a little bag, like the corn nuts or whatever. I think it would be awesome.
Oh. And you would call, you know, you can't really call, I don't think Cheeto crack would be good because that would be like a drug thing. Because I know
it's, but it is.
It's crack. Yeah.
It's crack.
All right. Well, if you have an idea that you, or not an idea, but if you think that that's a great idea, let us know, because you can email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com, or you can get Dan by emailing to
Strap1971@yahoo.com.
And also, don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249. You know, give us a little voicemail or a text message, and we'll play it or read it on the air. And then everything we're talking about is going to be on the website. We got some gambling coming up. 2 games this weekend, conference championship games in the NFL. So we got our degenerate gambling. We have some updates on the bets that we've made this year so far. Well, it's looking good for both of us right now. And then
you had a little help.
I did. I had one game of help that took me out of misery. But we got news and notes, a few stories on that. We're going to go into Wayne's, our executive producer, every year sends us a list of his favorite all-name rookies. And last year we kind of unknowingly started that crazy name team when it came to the NFL draft time. And with that in mind, you know, like I said, Wayne has sent us that list for this year of what's out there so far. And we're going to go over the fantasy relevant ones. There's other ones that we're going to get to, but we're just going to give you a little update on the fantasy relevant ones. And the first one is everybody's All-American, Tua Tagovailoa. You know, Tua's from Hawaii. And, right. And the first thing we need to do, and I noticed doesn't drive you as crazy as it does me, but the pronunciation of his name. This all started with Marcus Mariota when all the idiots out there kept calling him Mariota. But Tua, he's from Hawaii.
Right.
So we got to get this pronunciation, because I'm tired of listening, like I said, to all this stuff. But
His brother's name like Joe?
No, his brother. Jim? No, his no, his brother, the other quarterback in Alabama, his name is Tailia.
And then they have another brother named like Mark,
I don't know.
Do they have any regular names? Or?
No, because they're from Hawaii.
Okay,
I'm sorry. All the talking heads keep calling him Tagovailoa, and every time I look at his name, I don't see an N anywhere in there. So I don't know why everybody's putting it there, but we're going to go through the situation that is the Hawaiian names and words. Hawaiians use the English language just like they do. They just like we do, but they just change it up a bit. First of all, they have the same vowels that we have on the mainland, A, E, I, O, U. The difference between Hawaii and the mainland pronunciation is this. In Hawaii, the pronunciation, they pronounce every vowel in the word, no matter what. And the second difference is that every vowel in the Hawaiian pronunciation only has one way to pronounce it. So you have A-E-I-O-U, and it goes like this. It goes A-A-E-O-U. Now, with those two stipulations in mind,
wow!
Think of Tua Tagovailoa. It's Tua Tagovailoa, not Tagovailoa. It's not Honolulu. It's Honolulu.
So is it like plantar fasciitis?
Yes, exactly. I don't even know how they would pronounce that word there. Or they probably have like tinga tinga tunga tunga or something for it instead. But anyway, to the facts now. Tua is 6'1" tall. He weighs 219 pounds. And if you're a team planning on drafting Tua, which I know you love him.
I like him, but I don't know if I'd draft him in the first round.
For an NFL team?
Maybe after pick 20, I would start thinking I would maybe it's a deal.
So like Packers to be the next Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Oh.
Which would probably be perfect for him because
he needs some time to just sit and
learn.
Yeah. But with Tua, you're getting a calm guy who's very controlled among chaos and has always found a way to stay in rhythm even in those chaotic situations. That's the book on him. You could kind of think of him like everybody's other All-American, Marcus Mariota. Always level, never high strung.
Not on any team.
Yeah, Tua also has impeccable character.
Probably won't start ever again.
He will. He'll be okay. Fine.
Somebody will get hurt. He'll have to play.
Tua also has impeccable character and leadership qualities. And I know that a lot of that comes from his family upbringing, but it must also partly be an island thing because that's all you see from these Hawaiian guys is like they're always just like calm, cool, just, you know, how do they say that in the surfer language? You know, chill dude or whatever.
Chill dude, yeah.
No, he's not the tallest.
And I'll suck at football.
He's not the tallest of quarterbacks, but, you know, they compare him to Drew Brees, but he's definitely taller than Kyler Murray, so he should be fine.
Right.
You aren't going to have Tua Tagovailoa just falsifying his height stats for the draft the way Kyler did. The negatives for Tua, as everyone has noticed over the last couple seasons, he's not very durable.
That's an understatement.
He is accurate but does not have a cannon for an arm, and he seems to have a slight hitch in his delivery, but I'm sure the Packers quarterback coaches would be able to fix that.
How do you think Aaron would feel if the Packers drafted him with their first pick?
I would think that actually, have you seen any speaking of the first pick for the Packers, have you seen any of the really early mock drafts that are out there?
No.
They have the Packers taking one of the receivers from Alabama.
They would fall that far?
That's the word. Well, there's so many of them this year.
Oh, wow.
So
I'd love that.
But I think Aaron would do the same thing that Brett Favre did when they drafted Aaron. He would have a little attitude and say, well, it's not my job to teach him. You know, same way Big Ben did with Mason Rudolph. You know, I'm sure every team does that. But next one on our all-name rookie list, Laviska Shenault Jr. Laviska was the number two receiver for the Colorado Buffaloes. 6 foot 2 inches tall and weighs in at 220 pounds. Scouts are saying that Shenault is a dynamic receiver with excellent footwork at the line of scrimmage, which helps him gain early leverage. That's something the Packers need, too, a receiver that can beat someone off the line of scrimmage. He has a good blend of size and physicality that makes him a good weapon after the catch. He's considered a good three-level weapon. You probably have no idea about this Laviska guy, do you?
No, but I think he'd fit in well with Equanimeous St. Brown.
Yeah, we need more guys with really weird names.
Exactly. Holy shit.
The problems with Laviska, according to scouts, is that he would be his horizontal routes. They need some attention, and he also had surgeries in 2019 to repair torn labrum as well as turf toe. Scouts are comparing him to Sammy Watkins, which isn't a bad comparison.
Not a bad, but I Sammy Watkins is injury prone too, I think, so I don't know.
Yeah. So there's a good number of other guys on the all-name team. However, they do not reside on the positions that are fantasy relevant. And those are guys like Kalevon Chaisson. He's an edge rusher from LSU. Yetur Gross-Matos, edge rusher from Penn State. There's an offensive tackle from Louisville, Mekki Becton. Safety from Florida, Hamza Nasiruddin. An offensive lineman, Prince Tego Wanogoho.
And easy for you to say.
I probably did that one like Tunga Vailoa. Linebacker from Fresno State, Netain Muti. And then you have Leke Fotu, the D lineman from Utah State. Oh, and don't forget, edge rusher from Florida, Jabari Zuniga. So we'll be watching to find out where all these guys go, and we'll also keep updating the fantasy relevant all name team as more names become available. You got a guy you like for the all name team in this year's draft? Be sure to let us know. Email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com, or use the fan line 414-520-8249.
So where do you think Tua is going to go? Or do you think he's worth taking in the first round?
I think he's worth a chance in the first round. I can only go with what I've seen on the mock so far, which would be they have him going to Miami, which is pretty high.
Which is really high, and who would – I mean, I don't think you can have the guy be a starter his first year.
Oh, God no. No, they're hoping that he's going to be able to throw when it comes to the rookie workouts in Indy. That's the hope.
Wow.
We'll see what happens, but you ready to get into some news and notes other than the all rookies?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Shit, that's loud.
What's that? I can't hear you.
That was a little loud, wasn't it?
That was a little on the high side.
Okay. I'm still getting used to this new board here. So, did you watch the college football championship game?
I watched some of it, not all of it.
All right. I have only one thing to say. A couple things. First one is, did you see Odell Beckham Jr. handing out cash to the players after the game?
I heard that didn't go well.
I don't think that went well with the NCAA, but You had that, and then he was in the locker room. Did you see him slap the ass of the Superdome security guy?
Yeah, and the guy press
charges for assault.
Wow.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But it pissed him off, though. He slapped his ass, and the guy just stood straight up and turned around and, like, kind of walked towards Odell Beckham, and Beckham kind of backed up a little bit. And, yeah.
But do you think that really – you really need to, you know
– press charges?
Bring assault. Yeah, press charges.
Well, well, all depends. I don't know if he's a security guard or if this is like if he was a law enforcement official. If he's a law enforcement official and you slapped him on the ass, yeah, you're going to get in trouble for that. If he's just some rent-a-cop thing, you know, where he's got a whistle and a walkie-talkie, then, yeah, settle down. Settle down, Johnny.
But I mean, it does happen to the perfect guy, though. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it couldn't hit. It was a nice little thing. So the other big thing that really made me sad after the game is I feel horrible for Joe Burrow. He's clearly the best player coming out in the draft this year, and he's going to be spending his career toiling away in Cincinnati, the team where all the good players go to die.
Right.
I'm actually hoping. What?
They're going to keep AJ Green. They have good wide receivers.
If AJ Green could stay alive.
Healthy too, right.
So I'm actually hoping that he pulls a John Elway. And because anyone out there who considers themselves a football fan should also wish for that. You don't want, I mean, you want the best quarterback to actually have a chance. I mean, it's because otherwise he's going to turn into Marcus Mariota. You know, the spectacular quarterback who goes to a team and, you know, team doesn't know how to use him.
Or the team, you know, goes to the divisional championship without him.
Can you imagine? They would be favorites this week if they had Marcus starting.
Oh my god!
So next one up there.
But don't you really want Joe Burrow to go to Cincinnati? I mean, shouldn't we all as fans?
No.
But don't you want everybody to try to have? I mean, you want Cincinnati to be good. I'm sick of teams being like Cleveland Browns.
I don't want Cincinnati to be good until the NFL forces Brown to sell his team. Because he refuses to do what he needs to do to make that team. He spends less money than the Green Bay Packers do.
True. They are perennial under the cap.
Yes.
All the time.
And you know, he keeps a Marvin Lewis around for more years than he should, and refuses
and that's too cheap to
get a good
fire him.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want them to be good. Not until Mr. Brown is gone. I forget his first name. Is it Al Brown? Jim Brown? Terry Brown?
Tua?
Bill Brown? Tua Brown?
Tua Brown?
So now it's time to discuss the elephant in the room. And that is, I have a question. Are you still going to try and sell me the idea that Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the NFL this year?
Oh, God, yeah.
Even though this is now the second straight season in which he crapped the bed in the playoffs. Because, you know, he's not that good.
So the first season he
crapped the bed.
Was a rookie.
Yeah.
Second season.
He didn't have a first down until, what, the third quarter? In that first season. And this year he throws for over 300 yards, runs for 100 and some yards, and they can't score more than, what, 8 points? Or what did they score? I don't even know. It was terrible.
I hope for your sake the Packers win this weekend, because if the Packers lose this weekend,
yes,
you won't hear anything more out of me than Aaron Rodgers is a bottom five quarterback in the league.
So because of the NFL's constant and undying desire to elevate minority players who are players in positions that they haven't normally played, despite the fact that they aren't that good at said position, we are destined this year to have another MVP in the NFL who is going to finish the season as a leader in none of the statistical categories for his position. Even the Ravens players have realized that their team's identity under the leadership of Lamar Jackson is nothing more than to get to the playoffs and choke, according to Baltimore cornerback Marlon Humphreys. So is that the guy you want as the league MVP? A guy who takes his team to the playoffs and then shits the bed?
Kind of like the Packers?
Well, they're still playing.
Okay. But what about the past 5 years?
Well, the MVP GOAT was hurt.
Well, but when he did finally make them to the playoffs, they lost.
Well, they got screwed by the refs.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
This is the same exact thing that happened when the NFL forced the MVP to Cam Newton. At least Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson can't get out of the first game his team plays in the playoffs. So I don't know what is with this desire. It's almost the same thing they're doing with the pass interference replay. Keep pushing a false narrative that most people realize is bullshit. Give me the player who is capable of actually leading his team through tough moments in a game and getting the victory. You know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, whose intelligence helped lead the team through a difficult 3rd and 8 from his own 22-yard line with the game in the balance and 2 minutes and 19 seconds left on the clock. We need some big-time music for this. Rodgers.
Can we also, while we're doing this, can we get the lawyers in and the views and...
No, because my views are perfectly correct.
Well, no, I'm just saying your views are your views.
And not yours?
And not mine.
Rodgers, as we'll call him, Rodgers the Brilliant, was able to recognize that the play that was called was not going to be successful, so he audibled to a pass play for Davante Adams. The rest, as they say, is history. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers. That is why you should be the MVP this year and every year. It's about more than doing a cute little spin move against the Cincinnati Bengals or having your running back run a WWE-type hype intro using words like big trust, feel me, and you heard. It's about being the leader of the team. Right?
Sure, whatever you say, Dave.
And now we move to the really old man in football. Word out of Arizona is that Larry Fitzgerald will be returning for the 2020 NFL season as he signed a new one-year deal with the Cardinals worth $11 million in base salary plus $500,000 in roster bonuses and $250,000 in incentives. Actually, I think that's $50,000 in roster bonuses, not $500,000. That's a lot.
Right.
So I'm thinking... I don't know about you, but I'm thinking he's resigning for another year because he adds a ton of veteran depth and experience to the young offense. He played 219 snaps for the Cardinals this past season, so it's only normal to expect that number to go down next year as he gets another year older and the younger receivers continue to elevate their game. Are you behind resigning Larry Fitzgerald?
What was his base salary again? I mean,
$11 million.
Okay. And I say it about Aaron Rodgers, so I'm going to say it about Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
If you want your team to win,
yes,
take less money so you can bring in more talent to make your team better.
That would be true, especially when you're as old as Larry Fitzgerald.
I mean, what does $11 million do for you? Nothing.
Well, especially him. He's got how much money now?
So let's take a $5 million contract, maybe, and maybe we'll put some incentives in there where they can hide it, or where it goes into the following year or whatever.
pull a 49ers under DeBartolo, yeah, type thing.
But I'm just saying, just give them a little, $5 million base salary with incentives. If you do 1,000 yards or whatever, you can get close to that $11 million.
Yeah, I agree with
but
that.
But then you could sign a linebacker or a cornerback, since you're probably losing Patrick Peterson if you haven't lost him yet.
Right.
I mean,
I agree.
Okay,
you're absolutely right on that. But Aaron Rodgers deserves every penny.
Yeah, exactly. And so, that's why the Packers will
win.
Okay.
Win? Are they going to win? We'll find out later on when you make your bet.
Yes, we'll find out later
on. Are you ready for the holdout stories that are going to start showing up for the next season? Well,
yes.
Well, the first one out the door is Alvin Kamara. Reports are that he is considering holding out in hopes for securing a long-term contract extension. He is currently set to become an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming 2020 season. So, that's.
Do you think this is going to work out for him? I mean, running backs.
Well, he's got the nose rings like Ezekiel.
Right.
All he needs to do is get an airplane ticket to Mexico. Do some working out there.
Do you think he even deserves Ezekiel? I mean, I'm assuming he's thinking he needs more than Ezekiel, right?
Well, I don't know how you would deserve think he gets more than Ezekiel. I mean, Alvin Kamara is not an every down back where Ezekiel is.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, should he get a little more? Yeah, probably, because running backs, those rookie contracts are always not very good. Right?
Yeah, I think he's just going to get screwed. I mean, is this going to be like a Le'Veon Bell thing where maybe he's not as stupid as Le'Veon and
hold out for the whole year?
Right.
Well, we'll find out. No, I think they'll probably sign him. They gave Michael Thomas how much money, right?
Yeah, and who are they going to have at quarterback?
Exactly. Taysom Hill? Because Teddy Bridgewater's probably gone, right?
Well, he's going to get paid, unfortunately. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, well, same with Ryan Tannehill. He's going to be the new Matt Flynn, too. You know, go somewhere and suck, or who's the other guy? Josh McCown. You know, all those guys. They have a good half a season, and everybody thinks, oh, my God, we missed him. So our final story...
Yep.
Before we get into our own gambling segment, I wanted to bring up the reason why I still think DraftKings and the other daily fantasy gambling games are a joke. I've been talking about this since DraftKings started years ago, and now we have a story that illustrates the fraud that is these sites. So are you familiar with Jade Roper?
No. Is this the couple that got busted?
Well, they didn't get busted. Jade is a former Playboy model who went on The Bachelor.
Right.
And then went on Bachelor in Paradise and met her husband on Bachelor in Paradise. So her husband spends a lot of time doing daily fantasy games. And during the NFL season, his wife... who is now under fire for allegedly colluding her way to a $1 million fantasy football contest prize 2 weekends ago, is relatively new to the fantasy sports. And this was her first year actually playing the daily fantasy sports games for the NFL. And like I said, she got into it because her husband does it, and she thought she would give it a try. So for the first week of the playoffs, Jade and her husband entered the DraftKings Millionaire Maker Contest. Each of them entered the maximum 150 individual lineups for the contest that cost them $25 per lineup. I'm not very good at math. So that's $2,500.
That's a lot of money.
$3,750 for each of them to enter this contest. And that's not the worst of it. So... as the games ended that weekend, one of Jade's entries won the big prize, and everybody that was playing in the game, all the other Joe Schmoes out there that were entered into the Millionaire Maker Contest, were crying collusion that her and her husband worked together to do this. So there were more than 105,000 lineup entries of 8 players and a team defense, and Jade's winning lineup featured Dalvin Cook, Deshaun Watson, and DK Metcalf amongst the other players. And she finished in first place. Everybody was sending in emails and Twitter things saying that she was colluding with her husband. So Of the 300 combined entries from Jade and Tanner, that's her husband, Tanner.
Right.
298 of those 300 were unique, meaning they lacked duplicate entries, of course. The other non-reported part is that both Jade and Tanner entered the maximum number of entries every week of the NFL season. So it's not like they just did this one weekend. So every week, they were entering 150 lineups into DraftKings. So now you know how DraftKings is making this money.
Well, because of Bachelor in Paradise, obviously.
Well, I mean, Jade and Tanner aren't the only two doing that, obviously. I mean, there's because I listen to podcasts that's all they talk about are how to enter these contests on these DraftKings things. So, but every, that's 100. So that's each of them. And what did we say that was? 37 grand or something like that? Or 37, no.
I thought you said 3,700, but I didn't.
$25 times 100 is 2,500. $3,750 every week for 16 seasons. So that's a lot of money. So,
wow.
And then after the win, of course, DraftKings informed Jade that they were going to probe into whether the win was legitimate. I mean, what did they think was illegitimate about it? It isn't like Jade went and paid Dalvin or Deshaun or DK to perform right. better so that she could win. Secondly, anyone could have chosen the same exact players that she did. It isn't impossible. It's basically a lottery.
Right.
But Jade and Tanner told Fox News in a statement, "We respect that DraftKings feels they must do their due diligence in regard to Jade winning their $100 million prize for fantasy football contest for the wild card round this weekend. Though we must ponder, would the questions, accusations, and curiosity about this win be the same if the winner had been a male and someone who wasn't already in the public eye? It is incredibly important for us to establish that Jade's win is nothing more than pure luck, and we are confident that DraftKings will determine the same." Tanner also vehemently denied any wrongdoing or involvement in collusion on his or his wife's part to ESPN. "We each put in our separate players in our separate accounts and rooted for our own players," he said. "No one has ever said a peep about us when we lost for 17 straight weeks. Then, of course, somehow Jade picked the right lineup, got the million, and a spotlight got shown on it. And people, especially since she's a woman, assume that I do it all for her. If I had won, I bet no one would have raised a flag." So, and think about it, $1 million minus all the money they've spent this year. That's really not that much.
Well, we don't want to, and I'm not liking where we're going with this because I don't like talking about husband and wife collusion because...
That's why you got out of the league.
But I didn't say that. I just said
that was kind of what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying a word about that. I'm just saying that I don't like the whole collusion thing on a husband and wife. That's all I'm saying.
I just think it's a joke and even so, is there a rule that says, like, let's say I want to get into DraftKings Millionaire Maker for the conference championship weekend. Is there a rule in DraftKings that says I couldn't call you up and say, "Hey, what do you think about these players?"
Right.
Like, what the hell? I mean, I'm done. I can't.
Yeah. So,
I just can't. So we're gonna do this.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that.
Clark, they don't play the same games here that they do at them regular casinos.
We're going to get into some actual legitimate gambling, not this DraftKings bullshit. So it's time for the conference championship weekend, and we're going to go over the two games and give you some input on those. And I just want to remind everybody, if you would have used my picks last week, I finally won a parlay. So I went 4-1.
The money line?
The money line one, yeah. So, okay. I mean, it was only $51 on a $5 bet, but, you know, hey, little steps here.
Okay.
So 4-1 last weekend. I am now for the season, and this is only on our game picks. This is doesn't include the other bets on the top of the page on mycffl.com, the wager page, where it goes into who do we think is going to win the Super Bowl, the conferences, and all that, the little prop bets. These are just for the game picks. I am 132 and 240, and that's 55%. You, 69 and 132, 52%, but you are big money ahead because you have, what, two parlays or three parlay wins? Three.
Two or three.
Yeah, three parlay wins. So you are $520 ahead. I am a mere, what is it, $54 in arrears yet. But still, like I said, some big prop bets on the board. And we have this weekend where I clean up. Clean up. That's what I'm going to do.
You ready? You ready? The money? Or?
Yeah, we're going to clean up. That's okay. I only need $50 to win to break even with the money I've spent so far, and then it's all gravy from there.
Your prop bets are all included already, though, right?
Well, in the money spent, not in the wins, because nothing's won yet. So the where it says total wager so far, that money's all the prop bets are all.
But your big one though has been.
My big, you mean the LSU one?
The LSU and.
No, my winnings are in there because that game's finished. So
right,
even okay. With that, I'm still $50, $54 behind.
Okay.
Right? 85 minus 31 is 54, right? Yeah.
Sure.
There you go. All right.
I trust your math.
So let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs versus Tennessee Titans. Right now, the spread when we made our bets was Kansas City minus 7.5. And, I was extremely worried last week with the Chiefs' slow start on Sunday. They were down 24-0 before storming back for four touchdowns in the second quarter, which I believe was some kind of a record, right?
Right.
Chiefs scored 31 unanswered points and never looked back. It was a blowout. And as impressive as the Chiefs' win was, you could easily argue that the Titans' win over the crowned and inaugurated Baltimore Ravens was even more impressive. Derrick Henry continued to just run everyone over. 195 rushing yards, averaging 5.8 carries per yard, or 5.8 yards per carry, in the postseason. And it is that stat that gives Chiefs fans pause this weekend. Chiefs are 29th in defense against the rush, and they're 6th in pass defense. And it is obvious how the Titans are going to game plan this weekend for the game. Yeah, they even had Derrick Henry do a Tim Tebow jump pass for a touchdown. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Damn. The best way for the Chiefs to get away with not so much action from Derrick Henry would be to get out to a very quick start on offense. If they can do that, they're going to force the Titans to pass the ball during the game more than they want to. For the gamblers out there, this is where it gets tricky. The Titans, 4-0 against the spread with a rest disadvantage, and they're 7-3 against the spread on the road this year. They're also 5-3 when listed as an underdog and 6-4 after a win. Did you get all that?
I got that.
For the Chiefs, they're 5-3-1 against the spread at home, 9-4-1 against the spread when listed as a favorite, and against AFC teams, the Chiefs went 9-3-1. And they are 3-1 with a rest advantage, which is what the Chiefs had since they had the week off for the wild card weekend. For my bets, I am taking the Chiefs, and I'm laying the 7.5. And I'm also taking Kansas City on the money line, and I'm taking the over of 52 points. And how about you?
52 points. Okay, so I'm going to do the Titans with the point spread.
You're going Titans plus a 7.5.
And then I'm taking Chiefs money line.
Chiefs money line.
I'm going to go under 52.
And you're going under.
Under.
Okay. Sounds good. We move to the NFC Championship. Green Bay versus San Francisco. We made our bets. San Francisco was a minus 7 point favorite, which I believe they still are. Or no, it's moved up to 7.5. I'm sorry. So if you're going out to make a bet right now, you're going to have to lay another half a point for San Francisco.
Okay.
And in their regular season matchup, the Packers looked overmatched, to put it nicely. Aaron Rodgers was sacked 5 times, and he was pressured on just about every drop back. He was never really able to even wait for the receivers to try and get open, much less finish their routes. The last time these two teams met in a conference championship game was 1997. Green Bay won that game that year. Both teams were 14-3 going into the championship game. And this year, the championship game in the NFC features a Green Bay team and a San Francisco team that finished the season with losing records last year, only to finish first in their division this year. It's the first time that two teams went from last to first in the following season to then meet in the conference championship game. First time ever. So there isn't even any stats on this kind of stuff.
Okay.
I don't see the 49ers just laying down in this game. They are just as eager to get to the Super Bowl as the Packers, and this might be the game of the weekend. Packers are going to have a balanced defensive game plan, as the 49ers don't rely on just the rushing and passing game, so Packers aren't going to be able to go with their season-long plan of spending more attention on the passing game, since that's what's going on in the NFL this year. They have a very nicely balanced attack due to the 49ers, and this could be a challenge for Green Bay, who have been open this year, like I said, on concentrating on stopping the passing game, since it's become obvious that that's what the NFL is becoming, a passing league. San Francisco was one of two teams to finish the year in the top five on both offense and defense. The other team, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, don't think it's all bleak for the Packers. This year, the Packers were 3-0 against teams that they played for the second time in the season. Matt LaFleur has also shown that he is capable of adjusting his game plan, something the Packers didn't do previously with the new Dallas coach, Mike McCarthy. I like the Packers in this game, not just because I'm a Green Bay fan, but because I think they have more experience in these situations than Frisco does. Quarterback edge clearly goes to Green Bay. Running back edge slightly to Green Bay. Same with receivers. San Francisco gets a boost on tight end and defense, but that's about it. I like Green Bay getting the 7 points. I'm also taking Green Bay in the money line. And again, I'm taking the over in this game of 45 points. And you?
You actually think the Packers receivers are better than the Niners receivers?
Slightly.
Oh, my God.
Well,
you got to take your glasses off, your green and gold colored glasses off.
Well, who's the guy they traded for midseason? The old man. Emmanuel Sanders. Deebo Samuel is nothing more than a more pronounceable Marquez Valdez Scantling.
Oh, my God.
Who's their other guy? Don't even know his name. And we have Geronimo Allison. We also have
I would take Kendrick Bourne.
Bourne identity?
I would take him over MVS. I would take him over Allison. I would take him over Kumaro. I would take him over any of our receivers but Devontae Freeman.
Alan Lazard, would you take him over him?
Oh, my God. Yeah, pretty easy.
Oh, please. Your picks. Enough of this.
So and you would rather have Jimmy Graham than George Kittle?
No. I said George Kittle is clearly, they clearly have an edge at tight end. Clearly.
I would say so much so that that's where I would say the receiving core.
That's who's going to get all the passes?
Yeah.
George Kittle.
Okay. All right. So I'm taking the Packers getting the 7.
Yep.
Niners on the money line.
Okay.
And what was the over-under?
45.
45. That seems... I think I'll go over on that.
All right. Sounds good. And those are our picks. Remember, it's legal now in most states. In fact, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
sometime this spring, like around March or so, or maybe April after we get back from our cruise, do you want to ride with me down to Dubuque, Iowa, and play some our bets for the prop bets for next year?
That sounds like fun. But can you also say, though, when you say our cruise, can you just say...
Oh, yeah, my wife's and mine. My wife's
yeah, and our cruise. Yeah, because that kind of sounded weird.
Yeah.
That kind of sounded weird.
Yeah, I like you, but not that much.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, okay. So, with that done, speaking of relationships, you ready to get it? Well, you can grab your own drink and your own little bag of Cheeto crack. We're gonna get into the club, all right?
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey.
It's time for the Fantasy Girl, everybody. The most popular segment of the podcast, which is sad, but it is what it is. You have your little iPad or whatever, so you can I can give you the name and you can get some pictures.
I just put you on speaker. I'm good.
Okay. So it is possible that the Packers this weekend are going to need all the help that they can get in overcoming the 49ers to move on to the Super Bowl. With that fact known, I searched the world over in order to find quite possibly the sexiest Packer fan on the web. This week, our fantasy girl is Packer fan and supermodel Haley Clawson. Do you know how to spell that?
Yes, please.
Haley, H-A-I-L-E-Y, Clawson, C-L-A-U-S-E-N.
Gotcha.
Haley Marie Clawson, born March 7th, 1995 in Thousand Oaks, California. She is an American model who was one of three separate cover girls for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in 2016. She was discovered at an open casting call in L.A. and started modeling at the age of 14. In 2014, Haley was the focus of an Agent Provocateur lingerie ad campaign called Behind Closed Doors. You should look that up. In 2009... she appeared in the Jay-Z video for Empire State of Mind. Since 2014, Haley has been in a relationship with fellow model Julian Herrera, and the two of them live in New York City. She's an environmentalist, which again illustrates the belief that beauty and brains don't always go together. She has also stated that she does not own a car, which many people in New York don't do. So,
right,
not a big deal. Haley Clawson. Let me get my sound effects here.
Your sound effects ready.
Haley Clawson, the gorgeous supermodel and unabashed Green Bay Packer fan, has blue eyes, blonde hair. She stands 5'11" tall. She weighs 126 pounds. She weighs a size 4 dress, and her measurements are...
How do you want me to do this?
You do it however you want.
I'll go a 36.
35, so you get a ding. 35.
Bra, I'll go 33B.
Oh, how am I going to do this? Well, we'll give you a ding. 32C.
Oh, so those are a little bigger than I thought.
Yeah, well, the camera says, what, adds 10 pounds, but, you know, something like that. All right, waist.
She's 126. I'll say 24. I'll just go with the number that Wayne says.
Exactly right. 24 is right. And hips. Okay.
I'll 35.
Close enough. 34. Wow. 35, 24, 34. And she's a 32C. Haley Marie Clawson, Packer fan. In fact, I love seeing her Instagram every, like last weekend she was like in a Packer onesie type thing standing outside. It was gorgeous. But, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, Wayne keeps sending me text messages that it's not that impressive anymore, Dan. He still thinks the whole 36, 24, 36, and then you go from up and down there is the way to go.
But how has he done with the, I mean, if it's so easy?
Well, he only did it once, and he was probably
once, about he's done it a couple times. One time he got killed.
Yeah, like I did.
Yeah, I feel pretty safe.
I'm fine with it, with my abilities here. So that's it for this week, everybody. I hope you enjoy the conference championship games, and we'll be back with you in a couple weeks for our Super Bowl, because it's 2 weeks off, right? Next week's the Pro Bowl, and then it's the Super Bowl?
Yep, correct.
All right, so we will not do a show for the Pro Bowl because the Pro Bowl is meaningless. Right?
Sounds good.
Remember, check out the website, mycffl.com, mycffl.com, and don't forget to send us emails. You can email the show by writing to cffpodcast@hotmail.com or Dan by writing to
strap1971@yahoo.com.
Does that really still make you chuckle?
It does, because that's like,
going out of my way to do it?
Yeah, why? Just
say at.
Yeah, say it.
All right.
It's not that big a deal.
And don't forget the fan line emails, or not fan emails, voicemails. I always get that wrong. Voicemails or text messages, 414-520-8249. Until next time, people, be good.
Bye-bye.